Lord, we thank you for this day that we can gather. We thank you for the snow. We pray for folks that can't get out or that are driving. Just give them safety. Bless our time this morning as we just worship together and study your word and learn more about our Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, all right, turn to Acts chapter 16. We're starting the topic we've looked at, started with God. If you don't get God right, you're going to have problems with everything else like the Bible. Then we looked at angels, the devil, demons, looked at man. And then last week, we were looking at sin. Hamartiology is sin. Today, we're going to start. We won't get through it all, but Christology. So we're going to look at the person and work of Jesus. So Acts chapter 16, verse 30, just this is Paul and Silas in jail in Philippi and the jailer, and there's an earthquake, and the jail, all the doors are shaken and the doors are opened. The jailer sees this and is worried because Roman jailers, you lose your prisoners. He's probably going to lose his life. He's not too happy, but Paul called out verse and said, we're all here, don't do any harm. And then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas, the jailer. So a Roman official now in front of prisoners. So something, he was aware of something with him. Verse 30, and he, the jailer, brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? There's the $64 question, isn't it? What must I do to be saved? So they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. So, just by way of the person and work of Christ, but what must I do? Well, go to church, get baptized. No, believe. It's not what you do, it's what you believe. And so the gospel message is believing. That's the gospel right there. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now to unpack each of those words, what does it mean to believe? What is it, Lord? What does that mean? Jesus, just a name. Christ, last name? No. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're going to take at least 2 weeks, but the person and work. Who is Jesus, and then what did he do? Why is he our Savior? So now turn to John. John chapter 8. Yes.
It said,
yes. Yes. Some people use that to as a proof text verse for infant baptism. If you have Lutheran, different denominations, a lot of mainline denominations practice infant baptisms. A lot of denominations practice what is called baptismal regeneration, meaning you have to get baptized with water, and a lot of time for Roman Catholics and Lutherans, sprinkling. There's different modes of baptism. Sometimes you sprinkle, sometimes they pour, sometimes Baptists you immerse and dunk, but they believe in baptismal regeneration. You have to be baptized in water in order to be saved. That's a heresy, okay? Because ultimately, it's what you do. So, why do they say that? The operative word in that sentence is believe. So, it's not just for you, Mr. Jailer. It's for anyone back home that believes. See, and so, sometimes you'll get arguments which proof. Okay, because they'll say that, well, there must have been young kids. Okay, that's an argument from science. Silence. This is bad. That's not what it says. So believe on the Lord, and you and your household. Peter with Cornelius. Well, okay, no, actually, look, read the next verse. Verse 32. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. So it continues on that the operative word is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and then Paul went home, and so, but And then after that, well, in verse 33, and he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and immediately he and all his family were baptized. So, you know, now what is water baptism? Is it important? It's a command. But does it save you, or is it a reflection of your profession in Jesus Christ? It's what the Bible teaches, I believe. So you got that? Okay. John chapter 8. So the gospel must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, who is he, and what? Why do we care? John chapter 8, look at verse 58. Just, once again, just proof text verses. Out of context, but I mean, they're in context. So, Jesus is arguing with the Jews, and then verse 58, verse 57. Verse 56. Your father Abraham, Jesus talking to them, the importance of Abraham for the Jews, rejoiced to see my day. What? And he saw it and was glad. Then the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, verse 58, most assuredly, truly, truly, verily, verily, that's amen, amen, literally in the Greek. Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Where have we heard that before? I am. You know, Moses, the burning bush, what name? I am who I am. So Jesus, in John, there are seven very specific I am statements where Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. And so that is just a very direct statement that Jesus is God, his full deity. He is God the Son, and his eternality. So Jesus, the Jews, oh, you're not even 50. How did you see? No, I am. He's God. Yeah, so his eternality. So Jesus didn't all of a sudden come into being in Bethlehem. That's another heresy that some denominations, and mainly cults believe that somehow Jesus came into being little baby in Bethlehem. So eternality, he's eternal because he's God. Turn to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. Matthew 1, beginning at verse 21. An angel of the Lord came to Mary and Joseph, but said, verse 21, well, telling Joseph this, that not to put off divorce because his wife is pregnant. How did she get pregnant? Verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet Isaiah, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. So Emmanuel in Hebrew means God with us, but the virgin birth. So this is very important because part of it has to do with going back to sin. If Jesus were born of the seed of Adam, simple way to look at it, he would have inherited and imputed sin. We talked about that last week. See, sometimes we talked about sin is worse than we think it is. Sin is not just what we do, it's who we are. We are guilty, we are sick, and we commit sin. So Jesus, by the virgin birth, God the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary so that Jesus, we're getting to fully human, baby born in Bethlehem, in his humanity, does not have original sin. Huge ramifications. We would not be saved if Jesus had sin at all, original sin or any other. So that's a virgin, his virgin birth. Turn to Luke. Luke chapter 1. verse 35. And so now, you know, now the angel's talking now to Mary. Verse 35, and the angel answered and said to her, verse 35, Luke chapter 1. And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, we'll be talking about the Holy Spirit in future lectures, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. So that's the aspect of God the Holy Spirit, Mary's virgin birth, very important for Jesus not having a sin nature in his humanity. All right, now go to John. So a lot of gospel messages here as we know the ministry, earthly ministry of Jesus. John, chapter 1, verse 14. See, some familiar verses that, you know, especially at Christmas time, Advent season, we read through these and sometimes maybe we're just, oh yeah, oh, of course. But what does it mean? And why is it important, the virgin birth? What does it mean that the Holy Spirit came upon Mary? The Gospel of John. I'll read one now. We'll come back to that. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, what does that sound like? Genesis chapter 1, right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Word, because of my translation, capital W. And then goes on and talks about Jesus, verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So who is the Word? Capital W? Jesus. The Word was God. So the Word is God, and then over in verse 14, and the Word became flesh. So he's God and he's man. That's very important. We're going to be talking about that coming up in, go to John chapter 10. Let me, couple verses first. But yeah, Steph, go ahead. John chapter 10. Okay. I'd have to see that, and because part of what Islam, the Quran, they really like Jesus. They like Moses. They like Abraham. Obviously, Muhammad is superior to all of them. And so when they talk about word, how they're using it. Obviously, they do not believe Jesus is the Son of God. That's called shirk. That's the worst sin in all of Islam, is to equate with Allah a partner. So therefore, you see the Trinity, Jews and Islam, that's where we part huge company. So they have false religions, obviously, because they don't understand the triune nature of God. That goes back to this. One God, three persons. Explain that. We try to give examples. The more you start trying to explain it, the more heresy you get yourself into. God revealed it. We accept it. We better accept it. Now Jesus, as we're getting to, one person, two natures. He's fully human and fully God. So when Islam, if wherever that is in the, whatever surah that is in the Quran, whatever they mean by that, unless they're just quoting the Gospels, because Islam likes a lot of the Old Testament, and they like the Gospels. They do not like the Apostle Paul in the New Testament. So they don't accept a lot of the New Testament. But the Gospels, Islam generally likes. Now, obviously, they're going to interpret it their way. Another group Can you think of another group that is does not believe that Jesus is fully God? A whole lot of them, but Jehovah's Witnesses. Their translation, which is the New World Translation, Nathan Knorr was one of their heretical prophets, wrote, retranslated a lot of what the New Testament, because they had to get rid of some of the uncomfortable juices, but the word was a God. That's the way they will translate it, which according to the Greek, they have no understanding of that, and obviously spiritual blindness. But they claim that Jesus is, the word was a God, which creates problems for them. So you mean, so he's a God, but he's not? So you believe in two gods? And no. He is a lesser being, the firstborn of creation, that God, Jehovah, created Jesus first, so he's sort of a semi-God. See, you run into heresy. All these types of cults and other religions don't understand that Jesus is the eternal Son of God who, at his virgin birth, added humanity to his deity. So he became a baby in Bethlehem. Now he's fully human. The incarnation, the word became flesh. That's the word tabernacle. Some of your old translations, if you have the King James, and the word tabernacled with us. God's presence on earth, Jesus Christ. And so obviously groups don't accept that. And we'll have time and we can talk about some of the errors that some groups think Jesus really wasn't human. Sometimes we in the Bible-believing church forget Jesus was human. But then most cults, and like Job pointed out, a lot of them, Jesus is a good teacher, he's a good example, he's a nice man, but he's not the eternal God. So, Steph, did you have something else? Once again, Islam, Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, Jesus isn't, everybody likes Jesus. But the minute you try for Islam, you go over to Tehran and stand on a street corner and say, Jesus is God the Son, they'll behead you right then and there. Maybe not, but almost. Because they like Jesus, and so the way you're going about it is very, that's a great way to just let people introduce Jesus. Don't argue with them. Paul says, no. Yeah, I'll tell you what, let me give you a New Testament. Here's our scriptures. Read the Gospel of John and you tell me what you think about Jesus. And see if you see, because ultimately when it comes to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, where does that come from? Where does our belief come from? Ultimately, it has to be spiritually shown to people because they are dead. Sin is worse than we think it is. They are dead in their trespasses and sin. And so they have to be made alive so they can believe. Just presenting Jesus, presenting God's word, that'll be the message today. The power and wisdom of the gospel message. Let's let God do that. I mean, you know, we could all argue with them and win all the arguments, but once again, I can't change a human heart, and so we want to introduce them to Jesus, which is what you're talking about. So that's right. The exclusivity, and we'll get to that next week. But the work. Where does salvation come from? What is the basis of salvation? What is required? What is the gospel message? Like I started off with, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. What does it mean to believe? Not just know some facts. You know, we in English, believe is a term, a word we water down. We don't use our words very precisely. You know, do you believe in Abraham Lincoln? I believe he existed, but that's a historical fact. Do I believe in my wife? Trust her that she's faithful and a good wife? And, you know, do I believe that boy back there is a rotten son? Yeah, I believe. But believe, what does the word believe mean? Well, we might say trust in the Lord. Who is Lord? God. So that's how do you get around, but that word can be used to mean master. Context determines meaning, and when the gospel writers talk about Jesus as Lord, a good Hebrew boy writer is not going to use the word Lord if, you know, in the sense of Jesus as God. Lord Jesus, which that's the Hebrew name Joshua, Jehovah is Yahweh, is salvation. What a great name, Jesus. Christ, that's the Greek, not his last name. That's Greek for Mashiach, the Messiah. So his Jesus name, as Paul tells the Philippians jailer, he is Lord, he's God. He is God's salvation. He is the coming Messiah. There it is. You tell me. Well, our message last, if you were here last week, and we'll touch on it again today, the stumbling block for Jews and ultimately for Muslims, a stumbling block is that the Messiah is actually God, more than just a coming king that's going to kick out the Romans. He is God the Son. So he's much more than a political answer to our problems. We could learn that in our modern church. Jesus is the Messiah. And so with the word, back to the word. And so that's, I didn't know that. I'll have to maybe look that up, that if that's in the Quran or because a lot of the Quran. Okay, because I have books, how to witness to Muslims, because once again, just give them Jesus. Don't give them doctrine up front. Let them meet the real Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And that's in our culture. This is, I approve of this. It's just, this is my personality sometimes. But be a listener. Share stories. We love stories. Don't tell them, just, here's the truth. Well, it's the truth, but you can put people off. And I'm guilty of that, unfortunately. You know, I don't have time for fluffiness right now. Here's the truth. That's not very effective in certain circumstances. But you share, you listen respectfully to, you know, what do you believe about eternal life or salvation? Don't even that. We use a lot of Christianese. You know, are you saved, brother? Are you sanctified? You know, we use a lot of words that, no. Do you know Jesus? You know, sometimes you'll hear people, if you're standing at the gates, you know, before God and he asks you, why should I let you into my heaven? What are you going to do? You know, are you saying, if Allah, how are you going to get into Allah's paradise? You know, so you open it up and you let them share, and then maybe you'll get to share. Once again, I don't have to win the argument because ultimately the Holy Spirit, you know, maybe they, she's a nice Christian. Not all Christians are on crusade, the Crusades, which are misunderstood. No. And that's, there's lifestyle evangelism. See, that's one thing that this church family I love is very friendly and people feel welcome. They like the people. They'll put up with the knucklehead up here yelling at everybody, but they like the people. That's very effective. Now, obviously, just let me give you my testimony. Okay, that's good. You're sharing stories. But, you know, let me tell you about how bad of a biker gang. And then we glory in how bad of a biker gang guy I was. And we never get to the gospel message. You know, this is what Jesus did for me. He made my life better and gave me a wonderful life. Okay, that's all nice. And of course God can do that. That's not the gospel. Ultimately, they have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So they're not trusting in how wonderful my life is and beautiful my story is and how I can bring tears to my eyes telling you how wonderful my... They have to be confronted in the neutral, positive and neutral sense of Jesus. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so step all the way back around to the Word. That's what we need. We Christians need to do a better job with. Cult members, false religions, you know, not just angry, well, you're all going to hell. That might be a true statement, apart from God's grace, but that's not the way to win arguments. You know, that's not our job. Let's let the Holy Spirit, in fact, that'll come up in the message today about how Paul's rhetorical, Paul's speaking skills, the foolishness of the message versus the Roman orators that were so brilliant, you know, just could put on a show where Paul just gives them Jesus. Trudy. Oh, very good. Okay. Yeah. What do your imams tell you about? Well, no, they need more. But that's a great point of contact. That's like Paul in Athens. Remember him on Mars Hill? He was disturbed by all the Roman gods. That was how, you know, Rome, when we get back to empires, that's how I look at it. When we get back to the Ten Commandments, and then when we really get back to empires, but what did Rome do? How did they incorporate all their conquered people? They incorporated all their gods into the pantheon. And in Athens, they had a god to cover all their bets, you know, we got all these different gods, to the unknown God. Let's cover all our bets. And Paul used that as a point of contact. Let me tell you, that unknown God, I notice you're very religious people. Let me tell you about that unknown God. Let me tell you, what is the Word and Messiah? What do you think, Miss Muslim, about that? And then, you know, and here's, as a Christian, here's the way we would take that. And that says right here in the Gospel of John. So, you know, that's making contact with people, shared experiences, stories. That's important. So, Mike. As little as possible. I don't like pastors.
I just was wondering if you ever, you've been a pastor, if you got any feedback about how effective that guy is.
That's Rob. He is the pastor. He's a bivocational pastor. He works for the gas company, water company, well drill, but he's bivocational. New Beginnings Baptist Church in Divide. So, yeah, sort of a catacorner from the new sheriff's apartment on the other side of the highway. So that would that be the north side of the highway? New Beginnings Baptist Church. It's a independent fundamentalist. These words are all very important. Independent fundamentalist Baptist church. George and I back in Florida, we were part of an independent fundamentalist Baptist church. So King James, they will only use the King James Bible. And so that one of the things then that they do is those signs, if you noticed it, uses King James. Ye must believe. You know, it uses that Shakespearean type English, which is beautiful. We just don't talk that way nowadays. And so then they stand down there, and if you ever, in the summer, roll down your window and you're stopped at the light, and Rob will have his Bible, and he'll be waving his Bible. Other folks and a lot of, you know, young kids and look nice in their Sunday best dresses and everything, suit, coat, tie, and they will be holding signs, you know, with gospel messages, believing in Jesus. That's true statements. And he'll be, that might be actually preaching right out of Acts chapter 16. You must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. That's all true message. Can God use that? You bet he can. In today's culture, how effective is it? Well, that's up to God. You know, now, sometimes if I'm parked at the parking lot there and I'm watching these folks shoving their signs in my face the way, you know, that, you're forcing, no, they're not, they're being polite. They're just staying. very polite, and so. Once again, I don't know. This is just me, suspect it's not the most effective way, but is it overall good? You bet. Because once again, waving signs at people, bumper stickers on cars, okay, that's great, but people need to hear the message and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's, you know, that's where the personal contact, a bumper sticker might cause somebody, and God can use that. He's preaching the word of God, King James. I might not understand what he's saying. Absolutely, that's the gospel message. You know, now I haven't heard whether he's gets into the, you brood of vipers, you're all going. You know, sometimes certain denominations are known wrongly for hellfire and brimstones. It's almost like we glory in the fact that people are going to hell. Okay, then you don't really understand hell at all if you're glorying in that fact. So I don't know. Is that something I would ever feel called? Well, whatever. God could change that, right? That's not something I would do, because I would rather folks have a relationship and, you know, and be not confronted while they're driving and they just got in an argument because with their spouse because they were driving too fast and were arguing and angry, and now we got a guy waving a Bible in our face. Because what does the world think about Christians? We're a bunch of narrow-minded, self-righteous people, and unfortunately that we can be that way. So Marilyn, you got it. Absolutely, because that might be what all types. Paul in, was it 1 Corinthians 9, I became all things to all people. Didn't change the message. See, that's all Paul told them what they wanted to hear. No, he met people where they were, and sometimes people need to be directly confronted, and God can use that. One of the things is, now I want them, like we in last week, and we'll reread the verses today, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. And then goes on and talks about Jesus is a stumbling block to the Jews, and he's foolishness to the Greeks, the philosophers, the wise people. We talked about that in depth last week. And so the idea of stumbling, Jesus is going to cause stumbling. John chapter 3, verse right after verse 3:16, goes on to talk about the light came into the darkness. The people did not like the light because they liked darkness, like cockroaches. So Jesus, just the fact he came, because it also talks about he came and judgment occurred. He came for salvation, but he also brought judgment, because your choices, do you accept or do you not? And so people confronted by Jesus, let's let people stumble, be confronted with Jesus, not Dieter's arrogance. That goes back to the method, how we go about it. Because I can be very obnoxious. I am very obnoxious. Can I get an amen? Amen. Amen. Yeah, oh boy, back there. But then people don't hear your message because they're so angry at you. And that can be part of why, to me, and that's part of its personality, that's part of why I don't want people stumbling over me. I want them to meet Jesus. But it takes all different types for different people to meet Jesus. And so that's where Paul, and as a pastor, you want to have the theological conversation. Believe me, I can, and talk about, you know, deep stuff if that's what's necessary. But a lot of people just need to hear the gospel. And so like what Marilyn's saying, that's a perfect example about somebody who maybe was a little brash and brazen, and that But that's exactly what somebody needed to hear, because once again, it's not what I say or how I say it so much. I don't want to get in the way. Let's let the Holy Spirit take His word and bring forth life. For faith comes by hearing the word of God. We are brought forth by the word of truth. We have been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God. So we need people. That's going to be Paul, the message today in 1 Corinthians. Jesus, let's let God's word speak for itself. And that's why Paul's preaching. We pastors can all be guilty of this, but try to get out of the way of the text, because otherwise people are disagreeing with the preacher, the messenger, versus being challenged by the message. So that's, you know, all that to say, the, you know, how we go about it, because it comes down to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the person and work of who He is. And points of contact, stories, that all can be very important, because, you know, yeah, sometimes in political debate, sometimes in religious debates, we're so busy, I'm not listening to you. I'm just waiting for you to stop talking so I can respond with something more brilliant. And so we're talking past each other. And with Islam, Jews, any non-Christians, let's not reinforce their false, hopefully, stereotype of Christians that we're a bunch of arrogant, narrow-minded, self-righteous people. Because then, well, they're looking for an excuse in their sin not to believe, and Dieter can become a very easy, there's the poster child. Why, I don't want to be a Christian. I'd never go down to that church where all those hypocrites are. So, Joe, yes, sir. But God gave, see, that's where different gifts, different types of salesmanship, you know, that's what sort of, I'm in sales, you know, you don't answer to me, but I'm in sales. And at the secular level, that's true. How much more so with something that's really important, the Christian faith? And then recognizing this takes the pressure off me, us. I don't have to browbeat you to convince you. I want to be able to answer your questions. Hopefully I'll have it. Hopefully I'm honest enough to say I don't know. But ultimately, that relationship, the contacts, the hits, the hits. Boom, believe in Jesus. But ultimately, it's the Holy Spirit that, you know, planting, watering, but God, ultimately it's the Holy Spirit that regenerates. We'll talk about that when we come to salvation and the work of the Holy Spirit. Makes people born from above, literally. So what is our role? We're in sales. Let's be winsome salesmen, but then not compromising the message in order to try and get people to like us. So I don't know, maybe some people have, you know, that your next door neighbor that you knew was a, you know, not a Christian, but you were a good neighbor and you, you know, you just had such a friendly relationship, and over 10 years, finally, they said, you know, I'd like to try that church out of sometime. We've had folks come here all the time because people bring them, because they have a relationship with the people that then they might be interested in actually going to church for the first time ever. There's people sitting in here on most Sundays that I know where they came from, and a lot of it was because of you people that just invited folks that, wow, they're not those angry, self-righteous people that the news tells me. Because once again, who doesn't like Jesus and wants to get in the way of Jesus? The devil. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2 Corinthians 4, 4. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the god of this age, that's one of his names, Satan's names, the god of this age have blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ should shine in them. And see, it's Satan will do anything to blind people to the truth, using false religions, but when people are confronted by Jesus, it's tough not to like Jesus. It's very easy not to like Jesus' messengers. So, saw another hymn. Steph. See, and that's true, and just forgive me, you know, I'm not poking fun, that sometimes we like to, we're in sales, we have to categorize, we have to take a poll, and we think we know, and church growth books and a manual, and if you just do this, God will take care of it. The principle of different folks in somebody's life, you know, and you're not saying this, of course, but, you know, 10 people now have shared the gospel, so I'm number 11. I don't know that, but I'm number 11. Now they have to become, but that's the idea of a community. That'd be a good name for a church. Write that down. Community fellowship, but people seen, people from all around the world worshiping together, that would be very appealing to somebody from that's not a white American in the United States. And that's one of the things we forget, the pictures of Jesus that are blonde hair and blue. I think we just, intergenerational, Jesus is an equal opportunity Savior. Neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. We are all one in Christ Jesus, meaning our standing before God doesn't matter. Physical stuff. See, racism. that Christians, there's no room for racism, and unfortunately that word gets thrown around in such ways that, who's really the racist? But no, Jesus is equal opportunity. So it's not about who we are. The Jews had a tough time. We're God's people. Well, you are, but others are being grafted in. And so understanding Abraham, Isaac, the prophets, the apostles, that's important. Let's not jettison the Jews. There's a lot of anti-Semitism in the church. But recognizing our Jewish roots is important, but equal opportunity that would be appealing to someone white Americans, you all went over to the Middle East to kill Muslims. Okay, but that's politics. That's not Jesus. So, well, good discussion. We only got through 2 points, but that's better. So any other comments or questions? Very good. We've talked about is Jesus eternality and virgin birth, and we've started in on the incarnation. Here's your to cogitate your brain cells over the next week. Why was it important for Jesus to be incarnate? Carne, any of you speak Spanish, carne asada, one of my favorite Mexican, but carne, flesh. Incarnation, clothed with flesh. The Word became flesh. Jesus' humanity. Why is that important? Think about that, because we'll take a look at some of that. Any other comments? Excellent. excellent. Very good. And so I'm not going to insist we all go down and hold up signs, but I appreciate their diligence that they do that. I mean, they give up Saturday afternoons or mornings, whenever it is, and they're willing to go down and do that. So I commend them for that. Some folks that are, you know, I'll use Mormons. Have you ever had Mormons show up at your door? Very diligent. Not nice. Nice in the secular humanist sense. Nice people that are willing to get out and do that stuff. You know, so if nothing else, what can we learn? We have the truth. You know, what are we doing about it? And are we doing it effectively? Mike.
Well, just going back to an analogy about holding up signs, how ineffective it can be, and it can be effective. I guess at different times, it's timing of a person's life. I know that we use an analogy. We used to have a member of the church here that used to court me and talk, really talk to me about vitamin supplements and stuff like that. And I just tried to get away. I got to a point where I had some shots on my neck, man, and knocked me out, and they said that was the only thing that worked. And then all of a sudden I started thinking, well, maybe I will listen to this guy, and I'll try that product or whatever, and it did work. And I think in a way that may be the way it is for some people in their life. They like block out a message, a secret, and Christianity, and then they get to a point where they see that whatever is not working in their life, maybe this guy does have a problem. And maybe at that particular point in their life, maybe that sign that they're showing putting up that maybe that might have a little more effect on
But the Holy Spirit is who does it. So all the planting and watering and contacts, that's our job. We're in sales. I like it. But ultimately, it's the Holy Spirit. What can the Holy Spirit use to bring forth new life, new birth, spiritual birth, born again, born above? Well, he's God. He can do anything. But the Bible says using his word. Now, how do we receive, how are our personalities geared to learning, to the word? You know, I was just sharing my personality. That kind of stuff turns me off. That's not the way to get to my heart, is with in my face or with a sign, but with the message, the truth, which is what Paul's going to share, but with the Corinthians, what he was about. Just give them the content. The Holy Spirit will use that. But we are all wired differently. Maybe, you know, and please don't, you know, I can be very obnoxious. Especially ladies, generally, like the story and the relationship. That's good. Whatever, we all respond differently to different types of persuasion. Aren't you glad we're different? If everybody were like me, man, we'd be right, but boy, would we be boring. And so it takes all types, which is what Mike's saying, that, you know, that how can God use all these different, you know, that might be one of the contacts, that somebody sees that sign and why are these people not, what does that mean? Ye must be born again. Luck 1:5? What is luck? I'm going to have to go find out what luck means. And who knows? We all learn differently. I'm more visual. I tend to be one of those, getting older. I can't remember your name, Barbara. Anymore, but it's called eidetic, but almost photographic memory, where I could look at something and remember it. I'm very visual, and so that's the way I tend to learn. I see things, you know, especially printed pages. Other folks need to hear a story and the long way around the barn to get to the point. That drives me crazy. but we're different. Isn't that wonderful? So, anyway, Barbara, go ahead.
Well, church donate. Everyone who's at Hope Fairmount was cracked. And that's what God used to bring this young single woman to Jesus.
We're a little late, but we may be the only ones here. We'll just go right into the service. How many of you are familiar with Jews for Jesus? Wonderful organization. In fact, they're going to be here to do a Christ and the Passover during Easter week this year. So I'm excited about that. We had to schedule them almost 2 years out. And then in the fall, Larry Dubin, who used to work for Jews for Jesus, but during COVID got let go, so he does his another ministry. He'll be here in the fall to do the fall feasts of Israel. So all that said, Jews for Jesus are known for what they call broadsides. Any of you in the Navy? Well, I was. Broadsides. Ship broadside. And so they go to Jewish neighborhoods. You know, wearing their Jews for Jesus, and they have these really clever tracts that really provoke or geared to Jewish people to get them thinking about the Messiah, especially Isaiah 53, if you're familiar with that chapter. That's a great chapter that a lot of rabbis don't want the people in the synagogue, don't read Isaiah 53 on your own, because that man, you might come away thinking that man, Jesus, is the Messiah. And so broadsides can be very effective. And it's sort of, I won't say they're not confrontational, but they are passing them out. And then, you know, in downtown New York or wherever, you know, I'm sure you'll find lots of litter on the ground because people all throw that stuff away. But tracts can be very effective when they're well done and get people thinking. So once again, you want people to think and be convinced, not be browbeat or fluffed in. You know, they need to be confronted with the truth about the person and work of Christ, which we'll start on next week. So, any other final comments? Who knows? And Jews for Jesus used to get their newsletter. We used to get it here too, didn't we, Trudy? Would share stories about people who came to faith, came to Yeshua, Jesus, because of a tract and the way they went about it. When I was in seminary in North Chicago, we went down to Skokie, Illinois, in North Park, really rich suburbs, a lot of Jewish people, and we'd go door to door, which that was way outside my comfort zone, but it was good for me, going door to door to tell them about Yeshua. You know, that's the Jews for Jesus. At least their mission statement used to say, believing in Jesus is the most Jewish thing you can do. Because Judaism, the false religion, Judaism, say that if you become a believer in Jesus, you're no longer Jewish. That is absolutely false. But that's how you can keep people from studying Isaiah 53 on your own, because, reading God's word, reading the Gospel of John might cause people to consider Jesus. Have you considered Jesus? So, let's pray. And then I have tracts to hand out to everybody. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for our Savior. May we be ambassadors for Christ. Not getting in the way, but being ambassadors to share the good news about our King in our home country, which ultimately is heaven. Give us those opportunities, and I thank you that the different gifts in this room, at the different gifts in different churches and the way they go about it, Lord, that you can take what is planted and watered and sowed, that you ultimately bring the increase. Thank you that we get to be part of that sales team as beggars, telling other beggars where to find bread. We thank you for your word and for Jesus and just for the snow and the beauty of the Rocky Mountains. What a magnificent creator you are. We pray these things in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen. Amen.